the young ladies of Israel said, David has killed his 10,000s and Saul his 1,000s. And so King Saul became very envious of David. And for the next many years, he tried his best to kill God's anointed one, David. However, his son Jonathan had very much spiritual insight, and he became extremely close to David. And they made a covenant together, and they said, whoever becomes the next king, we will preserve our lineage, and we will not do the tradition of wiping out the previous descendants of that particular king. The story of Saul ends very sadly, because you see him fighting against the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. His three sons are with him, and then all four of them die. We have Saul talking to the witch of Endor, coming away from the God to the point where he actually commits suicide on that mountain. When that news actually comes to Jerusalem and the palace, the son of Jonathan, named Mephibosheth, was being cared for by a nurse. He was 5 years old. The nurse picked him up and she ran out of the palace when she got the news. And then she dropped Mephibosheth, and he was crippled in both of his feet. From that point, he was taken to a place called Lo Debar, which is on the east side of the Jordan River. It means no field, basically nowhere. And for the next 20 years, Mephibosheth lived in the rented house of a friend. He got married, but he was crippled in both of his feet. King David then came to the throne, and for 20 years he is very much distracted with all of the wars and the fighting that he had to do to secure his kingdom. Finally, after 20 years, he remembered the covenant that he had made with his friend Jonathan. And that is where our story begins today. Now, I want each of you to listen closely, because I'm going to tell this story once, and then you're going to turn to your neighbor and you're going to retell this story as best you remember it. So no sleeping right now. You need to be aware of this story. And this is God's word. King David said, is there anyone from the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of God to? They brought to him a servant named Ziba. And David looked at him and said, are you Ziba? And Ziba said, I am your servant. David asked, is there anyone from the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Ziba said, no, yes, there is a son of Jonathan, but he's crippled in both his feet. David asked, well, where does he live? Ziba said, oh, he lives in the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. So David sent to the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. And they took Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul, and they brought him to Jerusalem. Mephibosheth fell prostrate before David. David looked at him and said, are you Mephibosheth? And he said, yes, I am your servant. David said, do not be afraid. I'm going to show kindness to you because of your father Jonathan, and I'm going to give you all the property of your grandfather Saul. And you, Mephibosheth, you are going to sit at my table daily. Mephibosheth then fell prostrate once again before David and said, why are you showing kindness to me, a dead dog like this? David then spoke and called for Ziba. Ziba, I want you to give all the property of your master Saul to his grandson, Mephibosheth. And I want you and your sons, along with your servants, to till the ground and bring in the produce on his table. And Mephibosheth will sit at my table every day. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said, all that you have commanded to your servant, I will do. So Mephibosheth sat at the table of King David, just like one of his own sons. Mephibosheth had his own son. His name was Micah. And Ziba, along with his servants and his sons, had to stay in Jerusalem to serve Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth sat at the king's table every day, but he was crippled in both of his feet. Everyone stand up. Find a partner. Hopefully you're sitting next to someone you get along with. If you do not have a friend, I will be your friend. I want everyone up, back row. I want everyone up, back row. I want you to find a partner, and I want you to start at the beginning. The beginning. Listen up. Listen. It starts like this. King David asked, is there anyone from the house of Saul I can show kindness to for the sake of Jonathan? And then he calls in his servant Ziba. Start there. Go ahead, start. I am checking on you. Hey, start. Stand up. Stand up, easier to tell story. Do. Are you letting the little boy? Do you know this story? Is he telling it? Oh, good. Are you cheating? Don't you cheat, huh? Okay, hopefully you've heard it one time. Let's all sit down. I think I heard some people talking about the football match they want to watch, you know, after church service. Huh? I want you to help me to tell this story once again. So King David said, is there anyone from the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for the sake of Jonathan? And so he called a servant to him. His name was Ziba. And he looked at Ziba and he said, are you Ziba? And Ziba said, I am your servant. And then David asked again, is there anyone from the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for the sake of Jonathan? And he said, yes, there is a son of Jonathan, but he is a problem. He is crippled in both of his feet. And so David sent to the house of Machir, son of Ammiel in Lo Debar. And so that's where David sent for Mr. Mephibosheth. And so they took Mephibosheth from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodebar, and they took him to a city, to the capital, which is Jerusalem. And they brought him to the king. The king was named David. And he prostrated himself before David. And David looked at him and said, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And he said, "I am your servant." And he said, "Do not be afraid. I'm going to show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And I am going to give all the property of your grandfather, Saul, to you. And every day you are going to sit at my table." Then Mephibosheth prostrated himself again and said, "Why would you show love to me, kindness to me, such a cat like me?" Oh, dog, sorry. I had that cat story in my head. I mixed up. "Why would you show kindness to me, such a dead dog like this?" And David calls for his servant, Ziba, and he says, "I want you to give all the property of your master to his grandson, Mephibosheth. And I want you, along with your sons and your servants, to till the ground and bring in the produce to put on to the table. And every day, Mr. Mephibosheth will sit at my table." Ziba had how many sons? See if you're listening. 15, and how many servants? 20. And Ziba said, "I will do all that you have commanded to me." And so Mephibosheth sat at the table of David like one of his own sons. He also had a son as well. His son was named Micah. And so Ziba and all of his family, servants and sons, had to serve Mephibosheth in the city of Jerusalem. And every day he would sit at the table of David. But he was crippled in both his feet. I'm interested in one part of this story. I want you to talk to the same person that you shared with a moment ago. I want you to express the emotions that Mephibosheth might have had when he was called from Lodebar and came to Jerusalem to meet the king. What might have been going through his heart and his mind as he's being wrenched out of Lodebar to go see King? Turn to your neighbor and talk about that. What were his emotions? Okay, I just want to get the juices going. I want you to actually enter into the shoes of this Mephibosheth in a very wrenching experience after 20 years being pulled out, living incognito, nobody really knowing where he lives, and suddenly he is thrust into the presence of the king. And the tradition of that time was to wipe out all of the descendants of the previous king. I want to look at this story, and as it begins, it talks about David after 20 years of being very much busy, too busy to think of the covenant with Jonathan, that he says, "Is anyone from the house of Saul alive? I made a covenant with Jonathan." And Ziba, who was Saul's servant, and for the last 20 years had built himself up to 15 sons and 20 servants, he is called in to David, and he knows where Mephibosheth is, even though David and no one else really knew. Now, think about it. How do you think Ziba felt when suddenly he was being told that he would become a servant of a cripple named Mephibosheth. Because for the last 20 years, who has been in control of all the property of Saul? And we know a king has lots of property, lots of riches. How do you think Mr. Ziba would have felt? And so he says, well, don't worry about Mephibosheth. He is a son of Jonathan, but he's crippled in both his feet. He is not a danger to you. But David wants to show kindness, what's called hesed, loving kindness, New Testament agape. It's a love that doesn't have any conditions on it. And so Ziba says he is in the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodebar. Think about it. A prince of King Saul doesn't have his own house. He is using the hospitality of a man named Machir. Think about how hard it was back in that day to be crippled in both your feet. I tell this story because I have been to 5 podiatrists. I have very much difficulty with my feet. So this is not a theory story to me. And here is a man that couldn't work. By God's grace, he had a family and he had a son, but he was hiding. Suddenly, he is discovered. And he is brought from Lodebar, which is called no place or no field, and he is brought all the way to Jerusalem. And immediately when you see David, he falls on his face prostrate. And when David looks at him, he is super surprised. He says, are you Mephibosheth? Are you the prince of Jonathan? And he is super afraid. Hopefully you just discussed his emotions. Because maybe he would not be killed, only it might be his son, Micah, and his wife. So he is very scared. And immediately, what does David say to him? Do not be afraid. How many times in the Bible does it say, do not be afraid? I mean, for every day of the year. And he says, I am going to show you hesed, loving kindness, for the sake of Jonathan. I am going to restore to you all the property of Saul. He has been in a rented house, and suddenly he has become a great rich man. He also said, you are going to sit at my table. Did you know 4 times in the story it says, you are going to sit at my table? And once it says, you will sit at my table like one of my own sons. I want you to think about King David's table. Can you, in your imagination, think of how long that table was? Can you imagine the food that was placed upon that? This morning I was taken to a Chinese breakfast, but I am waiting for lunch because lunch should be one of those Chinese round tables. How many servings do you have to have? 10. Okay, Claudia, where is Claudia? I want 10 servings today at lunch. But David's service would be much greater than that. And who is going to sit at that table? Who do you think would sit there? For sure, his officials. You would see his military commanders, his advisors, the ones that were in administration of it. And then also very close to David would be who? His sons. And he had many sons. Who was sitting right among those sons? Mephibosheth. How did he get to the table? Could he walk to the table? No, he was carried to the table and he sat next to David and he looked upon the face of this man that showed him hesed and loving kindness and yanked him out of Lodebar, no field, to be placed at the table of King David. But notice his response. He says, oh, why do you show kindness to me, a dead dog like this? He looked at himself like he was roadkill. You've seen roadkill as you drive down the road? I'm a dead dog. But David didn't even listen to him. He immediately said, Ziba, I want you to give the property of Saul to Mr. Mephibosheth, and I want you to till the ground along with your 20 servants and 10 sons. That's 26 people, right? No, that's 36 people. And they're all in charge of one man. And every time that they till the soil, they place the food on that table for him to eat. Ziba says, I am your servant. And then it says again in the scripture, you will sit at my table like one of my own sons. The story ends by talking about his own son, Micah, and the fact that Ziba had to live in Jerusalem along with his sons and his servants in order to care for Mephibosheth's family. It ends by saying once more, for a fourth time, he will sit at my table daily. And it ends by saying he was crippled in both of his feet. My friends, have you ever felt like you were living in Lo Debar? Have you ever felt that you were abandoned by God at a place of crisis, at a place in your life where everything had been crashing in on you? And you call out to God and the heaven seems to be like brass and he doesn't seem to hear. For 20 years, Mephibosheth lived in fear. He was crippled. He could not work. He was looked down upon. He had to rely on the good graces of other people. By God's grace, he did have a family, but he was very concerned for his family. How are they going to survive? And then out of that very lonely, sad experience of being a cripple, of being hidden in a faraway place called Lo Debar, no field, he is suddenly yanked out of there and brought to Jerusalem. And I would think on that long journey to Jerusalem, he is thinking, I am going to die. And my wife and my son will be wiped out as well. Suddenly, God, who loves to do this, he turned the tables. At a point where he is prostrating himself and super scared, he hears from the mouth of David, I am going to show kindness to you. Do not be afraid. I am going to restore all the property of your grandfather, and you will sit at my table every day. His self-esteem was very low. If there's one thing that I do when I teach young people and youth, is they need to know their position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you see yourself like a dead dog, if you see yourself as worthless, if you listen to the taunts of the bullies in school, if you evaluate yourself and your failures, then obviously you're going to have a bad self-image. You're going to look at yourself in a negative light. Mephibosheth needed to hear, you are the son of a king, and I am going to adopt you as one of my own sons. We just heard a wonderful testimony. It's a testimony of being adopted into the family of God. It is turning from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It is understanding the position that we have as a child of God. The chance that we can run right into our Father's arms and he will embrace us and receive us. David is a marvelous picture of God the Father, who shows what's called loving kindness in Hebrew, hesed, unconditional love. It is expressed without expectation in return. It is given freely. We are saved by grace through faith and not that of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. And Mephibosheth was willing to receive that. And suddenly his whole self-image was changed. The point that always is stressed to me as I go through this story is the fact that four times an emphasis is given on bringing Mephibosheth, the cripple, to the table to sit next to David. And if you actually follow this story forward, there's a time where David has to flee from Jerusalem. And Mephibosheth, being crippled, he was not able to follow him out of Jerusalem. When David finally came back, there was a major problem because he didn't know if Ziba was a problem or if Mephibosheth was a problem. And in the end, he actually divided the property equally between Mephibosheth and Ziba. But Mephibosheth said, I don't need the property. All I wanted to do was to see your face one more time. The greatest blessing to Mephibosheth was not all the property he got from Saul, was the fact that he could sit as a son of the king and he could gaze upon the man that had showed him hesed and loving kindness. Brothers and sisters, one day we will sit at a long table. It is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is a banquet better than any Chinese banquet. It is awaiting for us. And the Lord Jesus will sit at the head of that table, and we as his children will gaze upon his face. The scripture says we will gaze upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, that supper, that meal that Mephibosheth had would just last for, I don't know, maybe for an hour. But the marriage supper of the Lamb will never end. He is our groom. We are his bride. Our responsibility now is to prepare ourselves for that marriage supper. We should be like the wise virgin that had that oil in their lamps and were ready for him to return. The scriptures say, everyone that has this hope fixed on him purifies himself even as he is pure. Our job now is to prepare ourselves as a chaste bride that is wearing white robes. A moment ago, we went through the Lord's Supper, and that is a very good time to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to remove that stain, because the stain remover is the blood of the Lord Jesus. And on a daily basis, we are to prepare ourselves as a bride to meet our groom. And then that honeymoon will never end. We will enter into eternal life, and we will study all the works of God, the universe, and particularly the attributes and the perfections of our great God for all of eternity. And so I want everyone now to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to evaluate where you stand as the bride of Jesus. Are you prepared for him to come back to take you to that marriage supper? If you are not prepared, there are many leaders in this room that are very happy to talk to you and to share, as was shared with Jackie, the wonderful good news of the gospel. And for those of you who know the Lord Jesus, spend some time in grateful appreciation for what is in store ahead of us. And ask for God's power, his sanctifying power, in order to prepare us properly as his bride. Father God, we so long to prepare our hearts and our minds as a chaste bride, one that is engaged to our Lord Jesus, waiting on this earth for that trumpet sound as he returns to take us to that marriage supper. And Lord, we are thankful that that relationship will never end. May this week be a week in which we share the good news, the hesed, the loving kindness, the agape love from the Lord Jesus extended to every tribe, people, and nation. May this be a week of salvation. Lord, may you give us a burden for our loved ones, our friends, our relatives, and may they too join us at that wonderful marriage supper. For we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.